My name is Donna Schantz, and I'm the Executive Director for the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council. So the RCAC is a nonprofit that was created after the Exxon Valdez oil spill to provide a voice for citizens in decisions that impact the safe transportation of oil from the Valdez Marine Terminal. The RCAC is mandated by Congress and funded by Alyeska Pipeline Service Company. Our member organizations include commercial fishing, aquaculture, native recreation, tourism, and environmental groups from the entire Exxon Valdez oil spill region. So basically that's from Valdez all the way down to Kodiak Island. We review permits, plans, we observe operations and oil spill response drills and exercises, and provide local input and advice to industry and regulators on ways to prevent an oil spill and ways to make sure there's a good response system in place in case prevention efforts fail. So basically the RCAC, it provides a seat at the table and an opportunity for those who have the most to lose in the event of a major oil spill to have a say in decisions that impact the safe storage and transportation of oil.
Have you been involved in regional stakeholder committee simulations in the past?
I have. I've actually participated in the RSC during a number of different drills and exercises. And it's actually during some of these drills and exercises, one of the major lessons learned is that most regional stakeholder committee members, they do not have a very good understanding of the role and responsibilities of an RSC in order to participate in a meaningful way. So that was part of what led to this project, developing materials for this project, was to just have kind of quick reference guides that would be helpful on the day of an incident to help make the RSC process meaningful and helpful to both the decision makers and the local interests being represented on the RSC.
So is there any kind of practical advice you would give to someone representing their community for the first time, assuming they've been able to access the guide, they have the basics?
You know, I think probably the most important thing to understand is that it provides a direct link to key decision makers during a response. So it's a very unique opportunity to share local knowledge, to provide information, to aid in the response efforts, and to help the local interests. So the RSC does not have a direct role in setting incident priorities, but the members can provide input, information, and advice to the Unified Command on incident priorities, objectives, and action plans.
What are some of the main ways that the RSC can benefit the Unified Command or the responsible party in their efforts with this bill? How can they work best to help those groups?
So the RSC members can provide local knowledge and information to help guide the response. It provides a coordinated avenue, basically, for all the various people and organizations that would be involved in the RSC to present their priorities in terms of response actions, including the protection of important resources. So, you know, it really is such a unique opportunity for local stakeholders and different communities to have direct access to Unified Command to inform them of, you know, what the local priorities are.
Can you tell me a little bit about how the RCAC participates within the RSC? So how do those two organizations interact?
Well, the RCAC can serve as an RSC until one is stood up. Then once an RSC is stood up, the RCAC is on equal standing with all the other members of the RSC. So we don't have any special standing, that sort of thing. However, you know, RCAC has extensive experience and background with the contingency plans and the Unified Command structure, how a response is supposed to unfold, and the RCAC can be very helpful in assisting the RSC in identifying different priorities and input that would be the most helpful to the response. It's important to understand that there are only two RCACs for the state of Alaska. And so there may be a time when there is a response, you know, an incident that falls outside of where an RCAC exists. the idea that the RCAC would always be included in an RSC, we may not be. I mean, if there was an incident, say in Southeast Alaska or somewhere in the Arctic where an RCAC doesn't exist, RSC members would not include an RCAC.
What else will the RCAC be doing during a spill response, aside from being a representative on the RSC?
The role of the RCAC is fairly simple during a response, is that we observe, verify, and inform. So the RCAC has no regulatory authority. We're advisors only. And so we would be monitoring activities and observing and verifying spill response and cleanup efforts. We'd also be informing our local community members and other concerned groups about the response activities, and then providing information from our local communities to the Unified Command. The RCAC would also initiate environmental monitoring efforts, most likely, and from past experience, we would be fielding a large volume of media inquiries, as well as calls from federal and state representatives and from the people in the communities that we represent.
How should the local stakeholder best prepare to be on the RSC in terms of interacting with their own community? What kind of information is most important for them to have at hand?
An RSC member should have a good understanding of the community or interests that they're representing, but also I think just know who to call or who, you know, how to access information relating to their community or interests. And also I think just for RSC members to just recognize that this is such a unique opportunity. The Unified Command, you know, is very busy during response. They have, you know, very limited time. And so that time needs to be used wisely to basically provide that input in a meaningful and organized fashion.
How can you make sure as a member that the meetings go as smoothly and effectively as possible?
Yeah, I think the most important thing for the RSC to be prepared for their meeting with the Unified Command is to have adequate time in advance of that meeting to get a good understanding of, you know, the incident and what priorities have been identified, and to have time to organize all of the input from the different RSC members. You may not be able to have a neat, clean, prioritized list of everybody's input, but it really it provides an opportunity for all of the stakeholders to be together in a room, you know, identify their concerns and what resources they may have available to assist, and to organize them so that once you have the meeting with the Unified Command, you know, you can maximize the use of their time and everybody's time to get your points across.
You know, imagine you're talking to an RSC member, a future RSC member who's coming in pretty blind. Is there any other advice you would kind of give to them that we have yet not covered?
I don't know about advice, but I think it's important to understand that the RSC process only exists in Alaska. And as far as I'm aware, there isn't any other state in the country that offers this unique opportunity for stakeholders to have a direct access to key decision makers during a hazardous release. So the RSC members, they need to use this time with the decision makers wisely to show that by involving the people who have the most to lose in the event of a large oil spill and who have unique local knowledge, it can lead to better decisions and aid in the response efforts.